Chaim Amasek Sahala.
Chaim.
We're doing step 9, number 2. Make direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so injure them or others. I think the wording of step 9 is very, very important. After we made a list of all people we have harmed and became willing to make amends to them all, now we go and we actually do the action. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible. That means if the possibility comes forth, then we go over to those people and we make amends. A. B. Except when to do so would injure them or others. Which basically, again, there's no purpose in making amends if you're going to hurt the person you're making amends to. So, to make it like real and to bring it down to earth, step 9. If for example, at home, my kid does something wrong, and I get upset at him, and then I start screaming at my kid, and I belittle him. And then I walk over and say, I'm sorry. That I'm sorry could be more painful and hurtful than the screaming at him. You know? if I hurt somebody on the street, you know, by simply like, where are you going? Like, I'm in my car. I turn around to the person next to me. Like, what are you doing? And then it's like, oh, I'm sorry. That's more hurtful. This is where we become like normal, where we take, again, this is where we're starting to gear towards step 11, where there's pain, we bring comfort. The best place to do so is in our homes. I found for myself that a turning point in my recovery is really where I took step 9 and I brought it into my house on a day-to-day basis. What I mean by that is, like I said in step 6 and 7, where I asked God to remove my character defects before coming home. And now whatever God didn't remove, basically, wherever I'm screwing up, I make right. So a suggestion that worked for me very well is by simply taking an inventory of what is my part in the dysfunction that goes on in my home. Meaning, obviously my wife comes with her package. Obviously my kids come with their package. What is my package? What am I bringing into my home that is extremely uncomfortable and painful towards my kids and towards my wife? And that's where I start making the living amends. That's where I start making amends. It's not only by going over to people and saying, I screwed up, I'm sorry, and taking a list for the past 30 years of screwing up and saying I'm sorry, which is important. But actually practicing it on a day-to-day basis is so healing and so comforting, and the reward is enormous. To calm myself down at home when my wife does something wrong, and just to recognize that her wrong means that she's hurting right now. That's it means. When she's getting upset, or she's not on time, or she's saying something that I disagree with, it means that she's uncomfortable. So there's a choice I could do at that moment. I can make sure her discomfort becomes that much greater by letting her know how uncomfortable she is making me and everybody else, and making sure she recognizes what part is her discomfort, which that in return would make her that much more uncomfortable, which would cause her again to do more discomfort because she doesn't know what to do. And basically, if you're hurting, you hurt. Or I can make amends. What I mean by making amends, the word amends is basically to fix, is to make better, is to clean up, is to work it out in a more healthier circumstance. I have an opportunity on a daily basis to take that pain of my wife and amend it. To take that pain of my child and amend it. To take that pain of a worker, a coworker, or a boss and amend it. Because we all walk around with baggage. I once said, like, imagine if everybody could really, like, show, like on QuickBooks, like, or or like on a computer screen, like really what's going on inside of their head. You know, the amount of stress and fear and confusion and worry. I become a tool now to help people with all of those things. I become a tool of being a spiritual awakening for all these people. But I think it's very important in step 9 to emphasize two of the biggest pains that I've caused through my addiction was the pain that I caused to myself and the pain that I caused to my wife. And if you don't have a wife, then it's the pain you cause to yourself and to yourself. And that is the biggest pains humanly possible. I needed to tap in before making amends to myself and making amends to my wife of what did I even do wrong. Like, if I'm missing $10, I know I need to find $10. But if I burnt down the entire bridge and the entire home and I destroyed everything and I'm responsible for that, to that level, I start rebuilding. To that level, I start repairing. Then I understand, really, like, what's behind it. I need to get to a place and understand that the pain that I've caused to myself through acting out, the pain that I caused to myself till today, if I take an action of lust, what goes on inside of me, the self-hate, if you're able to, like, wire me up to machines to show what's going on inside of me when I stare at a woman or when I fantasize, or when I actually take a significant action by clicking or by showing or by doing or by making that phone call or by harassing or whichever action I take, it's enormous what would go on that machine. The barometer would go off the charts. And it's interesting, they did take a study that the comparison to the sexaholic is the same as the alcoholic. The alcoholic, when he sees alcohol, it's okay, uncle. The uncle's okay. When the addict sees alcohol, there's an automatic imbalance that goes on inside of him that literally on the radar, you see him going insane. In comparison to a regular human, when he sees alcohol, he sees that maybe it could be enjoyable. It like moves like slightly. When the sexaholic brain goes to a sex or to a lust action, his imbalance is so enormous, it's beyond human comprehension. What's the purpose of what I'm saying? Imagine taking that imbalanced, insane, destructive, painful, sad, depressed, confused, self-loathing, taking that whole circumstance and bringing that into my home to try to communicate now with a human being called my wife. It's impossible. Take that addict who just sat and Googled the most gorgeous, hottest people that work on the face of this earth, and then try to feel attracted towards my wife. Take that person who wishes he could rip his skin off of his body from self-hate and try to have a relationship then with my child. Or as simple as the guy in the grocery store, as simple as anybody. If I'm in lust, I'm hurting naturally. Because I'm hurting. Physically, inside of me, I'm hurting. So if I'm hurting, then I'm going to hurt you. I need to first understand the devastation of what I've caused in my step 9 towards my wife. And the way I've meditated on this, which I strongly recommend, is A, to meditate on it, to actually meditate on it. But for me, I was that sick that I kept going to her part. I couldn't visualize my part in it. Until I recognize, meditate your daughter being married to a guy like you. Imagine your daughter marrying somebody like you, and they're showing up at your door 6 months later and saying, "Ta, the guy you married me off to, here's your step 1. And he thinks it's my issue. And he thinks it's my issue. Here's his step 1. But he thinks it's my issue because what? Because sometimes I don't do, I don't know what. Didn't put up enough makeup. or because I didn't put the kids on time to sleep, or because I don't know, I got upset, or because I was on the phone too long when he came home, or because here's his step one and he thinks I'm the issue. Would I marry off my daughter to somebody like me today? Definitely not then. But would I marry off my daughter to somebody like me today? And if the answer is no, then there's a lot of work that I still need to do, because my wife is married to me today. My wife is still, she's still in that relationship with me today. She's living with me today. If I'm lusting, I am wrong, no matter what goes on in my home, what is what I was taught. If I clicked on the computer, no matter how wrong my wife is, I'm wrong. If I voyeured, if I went into fantasy that day, no matter what goes on in my home, I'm wrong. You know why? Because how could I make that judgment call? I'm hating myself today. I'm confused. I'm rageful. I'm jealous. I'm envy. I'm tired. I'm in pain. I'm sad. I'm lonely. I have self-hate. And with all that, I'm going to judge whether my wife is wrong. And let's say she is. I have cancer in the highest level, and she has like a slight cold. Let's talk about the cold. I mean, I have cancer. I'm dying. That is a level that for me, I needed to get to in recovery and healing. Most guys who are married's issue in the meetings and with their sponsors and with everything have to do with their marriage. The least topic we talk about in program is marriage. The biggest issue, the most criminal offense that I've caused is in my marriage. I got married. I committed myself to one person. She thought I'm committed to her, and I lived a double lie for years and years and years and years, and she didn't even know about it. Then I come back, and the basically, instead of me getting thrown into a doghouse and living there forever until like God knows what, there's a new idea. It's called, I'm an SA member, so I have rights. So it's really not even my fault. So imagine this woman who's abused mentally and emotionally, and now it's like she can't even blame me because I'm a sexaholic. She can't even take out her anger. And if she dare take out her anger, then I use the whole program of I'm not safe and I feel you're not on your side of the street and all the beautiful things. The reality is I destroyed this woman. Part of my amends I needed to do for my wife was allowing my wife to have a breakdown. Was allowing my wife to fall to pieces. To allow my wife not to get to a place of being able to make supper and to be able to clean because she was down and she felt horrible. And she, to allow her till today when she's feeling out of it, even if it's not a direct correlation with my addiction, it's okay. It's okay. How many times was I the cause of her not feeling out of it? Of feeling out of it? Allow her to heal. The healing process, allowing her to heal, allowing her to go through that enormous pain. I can't allow her to do that if I'm still lusting, if I'm still acting out. Like we said last week, if I'm still in the action of lust, in the pain, that's why she's still belittling and hurting. To stop and recognize that everything that we're talking about with my wife, I've done the same thing with my kids without even realizing it. Even though I thought I was the king father. Having good time with them and daddy and everything. I did the same thing with them. I gave them the underlying vibes of they're not worth it. They're not good enough. The home is not safe enough. I gave them the underlining vibes of daddy's not here. Daddy's somewhere else, but he ain't here. Now, how do I know that? Because I wasn't there. I know myself now, looking back to who I was. When I walked through the door 8 years ago, 7 years ago, 6 years ago, who walks through the door today is a different world. If I'm sitting in work and when I get a, hi honey, can you send me a quote? And that hi honey is like, and I feel like, oh my gosh, like this woman loves me. But in my sick brain, if my wife is like, could you call me? I need to speak to you. It's like, why is she bugging me in work? if that's the disease, so of course I'm the issue. And of course I'm the issue towards my children as well. Even if I have difficult children, even if I have a difficult wife. And what's absolutely phenomenally amazing is when I changed, when I became the father, when I became that husband, my wife changed, my kids changed. Automatically. When I became that loving, compassionate, caring, considerate person, as opposed to the self-hating, the hating you, the angry, resentful, wrong marriage, wrong children, hating God, then everything around me just changed. And I know it because a few months ago when I took an action of lust, I went right back to that place. Right back to that place of anger and self-hate and everything. Step 9 is the opportunity where I could start making living amends. I could start amending the relationship at home. Every one of us wished we could have a girlfriend. If I have one, the level that I need a... It's a sacred bond. It's I can't put it into words. But the reality is, and this is not coming from an ego, but from a reality, I'm in love today. It's something really special. It's something weird. It took a crap load of work. I'm not going to lie. I needed to work on my marriage as hard as I worked on staying sexually sober, and that is very hard. I needed to constantly call my sponsor and constantly ask him for direction, constantly give up sex in the marriage, constantly work on intimacy emotionally, constantly ask how I could be of service when I came home, constantly ask what is her needs, constantly ask when she's hurting or she's down, constantly ask her what does she need from me to make her feel better. Not codependent, but then I'm feeling and then I'm deciding and so on and so forth. Don't worry, be codependent for the first 2 years of recovery. That's my living amends. Until I got to a place where I started to hear from my wife, I'm okay. I'm okay. I'll be okay with you, I'll be okay without you, I'm okay. To giving her that healing space and that recovery space is something so important. And then the same thing with my children. Step 9, we get very fixated, and I'm making lists of the guy in 18 years ago that I met at a pizza store, and we call our sponsor, and we create a whole story of how I need to make amends. The amends is the amends we make on our daily lives with our wives and our children, with our family members, with the people who stuck it by us, even though we would have never stuck by them if they did to us what we did to them. Never. Never. And what's so beautiful is, if you have a cloth, if you have a shirt, and there's a tear in the shirt, that is the most damaging part of the whole shirt. But if you amend that shirt together, that piece of cloth, and you stitch it back together, that is the strongest place of the entire shirt. If there's ever a place that won't get ripped in that shirt, it would be in that place. That will end up being the strongest foundation of everything. If I sit and amend that shirt together through love and through compassion and through understanding, and through care, and through gentleness, and through just being of service to my wife, that becomes the most secure place in the whole shirt. What's so scary is, by this last convention, and I think it's important to say this, I've met with over 4, I think it's 5 couples, where the guy said he wants out of the marriage because he got sober, quote unquote, at least physically, quote unquote, and he gave his wife an option of basically, you shape up or I'm out. And I relayed these messages to these guys of what we've done to them. Of course they're insane today. I made them insane. I made my wife insane. How could you make a regular person crazy and then tell them if they don't shape up, I'm out? And literally four or five couples I met with, together with my wife, by myself, who we worked on this type of idea of literally making amends, living amends, as opposed to I'm right and emotionally and the therapist said and she has issues and she was diagnosed. Some people are telling me the therapist and psychiatrist diagnosed their wives with major issues like sex, what is it called again? Like where you can't have sex anymore.
Anorexia.
Sex anorexia. Every one of these women said, of course we're all sex anorexias. Look who we're married to. Of course. And what's so amazing by carrying this message, like we read in the reading, by putting down this bucket of water, I literally, over the past week and a half, got phone calls from the guys thanking for saving their marriage. They were ready to bounce ship. Because of we became healthy now. You didn't become healthy. You became physically sober, but all the issues are still there. I need to ask myself in my marriage, just because I didn't physically hand the divorce to my wife or ask her, am I in a relationship that is divorced? Am I in a relationship that is not allowing the relationship to get to that level of intimacy, of emotional stability, of healthiness, of love, where I destroyed it? And again, the same thing with my kids. And lastly, the same thing with everybody else in the world. But I really don't care about everybody else in the world. You'll get to that amends of that guy out there and that money you owe out there, and you can do those amends. But the focus, the fundamental focus of amends is in my relationship. Who cares if I'm in love with all the people that I met in my whole life, but every time I walk into my house, I feel that pin in my stomach of I wish I didn't come home. I feel that connection with my kids that is so disconnected that I don't even have a connection. The place, the opportunity, is to write down in my step 8, am I willing to make amends to them all, to each and every level in my marriage, to each and every level in my relationship with my children, and healing it, and becoming into a better, more vulnerable, more honest place. And the reality is, the people that have worked on it have beautiful, loving, intimate marriages. For the first 6 months to a year, I would strongly recommend not thinking about what your rights are, what your side of the street is, but you're deserving. Even though I am deserving and I do have rights, but when those feelings come up, I just make a phone call about it and ask God to take it away. But to delve into, am I at least treating my wife as good as I would want somebody to treat my daughter? Am I at least treating my wife like I would have treated a prostitute? I would have done anything in the world for another woman. Am I at least doing that to my own wife? I guess that's the story with step 9. Write down the list. It's so freeing not to have to walk around with 100 pounds on our shoulders. Some tools and suggestions as quickly in marriage is start literally communicating with your wife like if she was a girlfriend. A simple text, a simple I love you, a simple heart, a simple could I pick something up, a simple do you need anything, a simple wipe down the counters, sweeping the floors, would you like to take a walk? Simple things where it could automatically just bring some vulnerability and intimacy from the home. And if there's pet peeves that she has, just do them. And it becomes humbling, and it becomes really intimate and vulnerable. I think we're not getting together. I guess we'll end it here.